Good morning again. Today we are talking about worry. And I just want to give you a little introduction to the set behind me. I'm coming to you today from Northwest Michigan. And this is our makeshift studio for doing videos, speaking videos. You've already seen the music part of it. And I think today is absolutely appropriate where I've been coming up to preparing this talk and fighting with it and struggling with it. And I don't want to use the word worry because I haven't been worried about it. I know it's always going to come out the way it's going to need to come out. That's always the case. But today was more about frustration and getting to this point of actually making the video. The things that we find behind the scenes running in our lives, and I referenced this earlier this week in my Transformation Tuesdays, there's always stuff going on in the background, right? And it's always there tugging us in different directions, or so it seems. And as we were waiting this morning to go ahead and film this, there's was a delivery truck outside that was creating this enormous low end rumble in the room, and it was like we can't do this. It's annoying, and you would be annoyed, and I was annoyed, and everybody was annoyed, and we're done with it because it finally moved on. But it kept bringing me back to this place where everything happens in God's time, not in mine, not in my wife's, not in anybody else's. It is unfolding the way it needs to. And the reason that it is unfolding the way it needs to is because that's where I put my energy and that's where I put my focus and attention. That's the way that spiritual law works. That's the way that, whether you call them spiritual or not, the laws of the universe work, that where we put our attention, we get more of. So I'm swinging back around to this talk about worry today. And I was also kind of reflecting on the fact that the song that you just heard from Stowe Good, they left their little outtakes at the end where they're not playing in the right key, or they're not singing in the right language, or they can't get their stuff together. But the beauty and the joy of seeing that is that that stuff happens. That stuff happens in life. It happens all the time. And we can either worry about it, fret about it, be concerned about it, think it's going to upend our lives from here on out, or we can find a way to breathe into it and take it in stride and move through it the best we know how. Today I'm going to give you a few tools for moving through some of that worry and anxiety. This is a continuation of the series that's happening this month with Reverend Jill on Wednesday nights, the 30 Days to Fearless Living. And I just do a little short little blurb. You'll hear about it at the end of the service, but I recommend getting in on that conversation on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Central. And we'll give you the Zoom links at the end of the service. So if we look at the definition, the actual definition of the word worry, it's a verb, it's an action thing. And it says giving way to anxiety, uncertainty, fear about a situation, allowing our minds to dwell on difficulty and troubles. That's what worry is. And if we think about it as an action verb, we are always taking action when we worry. Worry isn't something that just drops in and you go, oh, okay, you know, that's there. The conditions and the circumstances drop in every day. But actually, worrying is an action on our part, giving way to the anxiety. There is another definition that we've heard sometimes. We've thought that it's slang, but you hear about a dog worrying a bone. It's also a verb. But it talks about actually in that definition is actually of a dog or other carnivorous animal to tear at, gnaw on, or drag around with the teeth. So I like that as a metaphor for what we do with worry. We tend to drag it around with our teeth sometimes. It's an action. it's a choice. We think we don't have a choice. We think, oh, this is happening, I have to worry about it. No, we don't really. And the tools today are about moving away from that mindset, that level of consciousness, that automatic kicking in saying, oh, I got to grab hold of this because shaking it with my teeth is going to somehow fix it, right? There is an old Swedish proverb that says, worry may and often does make a small, give a small thing a very big shadow. That's what we do with this, right? This week, in addition to this morning's little technical issues, this week was one where I know that I could have gone into a tremendous amount of worry. And in fact, my old consciousness habit wanted to take me there. And it was a lot of work to not go there. There were a lot of circumstances that concentrated in a very short amount of time in the span of a week. We had some property taxes due. We have our taxes, getting our taxes done due. I'm registering for school this week. And on top of all of that, I ended up having to go to the dentist and got the wonderful news that I get to spend a whole lot more money fixing some work that I had done less than a year ago. And the financial load of that, the thinking of like, oh my God, this outflow, this tremendous outflow of money that's happening like kind of within a 24-hour period, or so it seemed, was overwhelming. And there was that part of me, that old part of me, that's the very kind of some of the last vestiges of that old part of me that wanted to take me way down the rabbit hole into everything that I'd ever, all the choices that I'd ever made in the past that were bringing all of this to the fore right now was, oh my God, this is happening because I did all of this in the past. And I will, full disclosure, I will admit that sitting in the dentist chair just a few days ago, and I've never done this before, and I started to weep. I mean, literally, and I was like, first going, I'm not gonna do this, they don't know me, I've just met them. And then I gave into the moment. I surrendered to the moment and said, you know what? I'm going to move my focus in the direction of knowing and trusting that all is well, that everything is working out in God's time. And so it was this combination of shifting and recognizing that I was shifting, that I had gratitude in that moment, that I was weeping. Not gratitude that I was weeping. I was weeping because I was feeling gratitude for recognizing that I had made, somewhere along the line, I had made a big shift in my life. And part of that, part of those tears were also that I'm also sitting in a dentist chair having just met these people for the first time and I'm weeping and what are they going to think of me? And I let that go. And it was the dental technician who was more uncomfortable than I was with my tears. And I was had some tears of joy and laughing going, wow, she might be thinking I'm a little crazy. And it didn't bother me because what felt in the moment, what needed to happen, I needed to release. I needed to release this pile of building up things happening. And I was so grateful to be able to recognize that I had shifted that much that I was like, you know what? And I said that. I said that to the technician. You know what? I just need to cry right now. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get over it. And we did. And we ended up having laughter and things at the end and talking about scheduling the appointment that I'm going to have some work done while I'm up here in Michigan. So the practice in this teaching, we know is always that our thoughts are creative. Thoughts in and of themselves are not. It's what we put behind them. It's the emotion and the action, the verb, the choosing to take a certain action based on our old unconscious beliefs. But we also know that we can shift that and practice and practice and practice and practice, noticing, oh God, here comes that thought again that wants to yank me down and take me back to a familiar and a really not a happy place, a place I don't want to live from, but that practiced habit of thinking wants to take me there. I have become practiced enough to recognize that I have a choice in the moment. We always have a choice in the moment, but we have to become aware of the thought that's happening in the first place. There's some other things that also happened with Unity of Wimberley and going the last few weeks, if you want to add to the worry. We've been having trouble with the wells and the pumping system, and we took care of some long overdue electrical work on one of the pumps, but there's still a water pressure problem and not enough water, and taking care of that. And in our discussions with the board and our emails and our back and forth, what I'm really grateful to notice and to say and to acknowledge is that we're all solution oriented, which I really love. That just demonstrates the consciousness of this community that I'm so grateful to be a part of, because everybody is, well, how can we do this? What can we do? What's the baby step we can take? What's the first step we must take to alleviate this problem or investigate this problem or research it and see what comes next? What is beautiful to see is that nobody's running around in circles going, oh my God, the sky's falling and we're done. We're done for, the wells are gonna quit. Action and solution oriented, because we're practiced enough in this teaching, and we lean into the practice of this teaching to know that worry and the sky is falling and oh my God, doesn't do anything but give us more, oh my God. Does that make sense? So a couple of tools that I want to give you today, your homework, as it were, as you go into this week, is look at the spiritual logic of this. If we're getting really logical of following the trail, the thought trail, as it were, when something comes up, the first, and we find ourselves going to projecting into the future, this is what's going to happen, and this is what's going to fall apart, and it's just awful, is if we can stop ourselves in the moment and say and ask, is this really what I want to have happen? I mean, when you think about it, you go, well, of course not. That's not, I don't want that to happen. So stop the thought in the moment. Stop it in the moment and ask that question. Do I really want this experience? And 99% of the time, the worry, that question will stop that, because you'll say, no, I don't. I do not want that experience. So what's my next choice? What's the next thing I'm going to do? Like I did the other day in the dentist's chair, like we did this morning with the delivery truck outside of our door, is breathing into it and surrendering. Not surrendering in the way of like giving up power. Surrender, if you've been looking at any Brené Brown work, when she talks about surrender and vulnerability, it's not at all about weakness. It is actually about being very courageous. Being courageous enough to lean in and say, okay, spirit, universal energy in me, there's something greater happening that I can't see yet. So I'm going to surrender to that. I'm not going to throw my hands up and say, well, that's just life and that's just what's happening, because that moves us back into a victim thinkingness. When we do that, when we say, oh, there's nothing I can do about this, I'm just going to give up and quit, that moves us into a victim mentality. What I'm talking about is surrendering to that power and presence that exists within us, operates through us as us. I surrender to the power and presence of infinite intelligence in me and know there is an answer, there is a solution, there is perfect timing. And I'm going to keep affirming that. So I'm going to surrender to letting go of my ego, my ego's need to control. And I'm going to move into that place that is in existence in me, that is infinitely wise and intelligent and creative. And the next thing that will happen is it will move on. I did that just a few minutes ago, walking out to the sidewalk to see oh my God, this truck has been here forever. When's it going to leave? And saw the guy, the delivery guy, getting out and closing the back of the truck. And I thought, okay, here we go. Well, then his friend comes along the sidewalk. He's standing there with his, you know, this cart with those boxes waiting to deliver them. But his friend comes along and they're standing there talking. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, when's this going to end? And I took a moment to breathe and say, it's going to happen when it's going to happen in the perfect right timing. And when I let it go and I surrendered to that and I turned around and I came back in the building, I walked across the building, I looked back out the door, and the little ramp was up in the truck and his little blinker lights had stopped and the truck moved along. Did I make that happen? No. Did I allow the timing of everything to happen? Yes. Did I get myself and my fear and my worry and my need to control out of the way? Yes. It's infinitely more peaceful to live that way. Getting to that takes work. It takes work, and there is no easy way around it. We can talk about surrender, and this is a whole nother talk for another time. We can talk about surrender and that victim place and leaving it up to fate and to chance. But it's not. That's spiritual bypass. And like I said, we can talk about that for at length at another time. One of the other tools you can use when you find yourself in worry and struggling against the worry is decide that you're not going to worry. As simple as that sounds, and as challenging it is to do that work, it is really that simple. One of the things that I talk about, especially when I'm coaching with somebody, is an idea that's rolled around that I've hung on to for a long time, and it is that solution, that idea, that next being in peace is one thought away. It's only one thought away from where you are right now. It's not making this massive shift in your thinking. It's one simple thought. And that one simple thought can come from a decision to make that conscious thought. So we follow the logic. This is the one thing that we kind of just tumble over. I will speak for myself. I tumble over sometimes until I bring myself back to, if I'm going from point A to point B, what are the steps along the way? Because if I do this and I am living from that place of trusting and knowing that there is an infinite intelligence and an infinite wisdom and an unconditional love operating in and through and as me, if I take this next step, the next logical step is this. Is this and this and this and this. It's our recognizing that we have all of these elements, all of these experiences, all of these conditions, all of these things showing up in our lives, that we don't get caught up in, on the one hand, of my thoughts and my actions and my feelings created every single moment that I'm experienced, because we also have that thing called the history of the universal subjective mind, where everything and everyone that has ever lived has put their piece of consciousness into the pool. And that does affect us. So we have to notice and recognize that that's also going on around us. And if we are in that one mind, if we are truly in that one being, we do have an effect. We do affect other people. Other people do affect us. We don't put ourselves in a bubble and say, nope, you can't get in. The reading from Tracy Brown this morning that Leah read for us, very appropriate about that. I am all of these things, and yet I am not. I am one with all of these things, and yet I'm not. In fact, there's one little section this last section of who we are. If I believe in oneness, it can be no other way. If there is only one source of life and that source has created me, then I am related to every form of life it creates. I am connected to the life of every human being in universal mind. Spirit does not force itself into expression. I'm going to say that again. Spirit does not force itself into expression. It depends on each individual to turn toward it, welcome it, and demonstrate its presence in every condition. And that's what I'm talking about, is deciding for, not pushing against, railing against, worrying against, but deciding for the experience. Today, I remember the life of the one is in the life of each person. I respect all citizens of all nations. I renew my connection to all humanity. I represent the heart of God. And if you think about it, our statement of faith, which we also said this morning, we say it every week, there is only one presence and one power active in the universe, in my life. Worry is an action. You can choose another action. You can choose faith. That can be the simplest tool of all, is to recognize I'm worrying. Worry doesn't do anything to help the situation. That old proverb. It can make a small thing, it can give a small thing a very big shadow. It reminds me of that this saying that I love all the time, that we hear a paraphrasing of a scripture verse. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not have to stop and build a condo there. So remember that. So I'll leave you with this today before we go into our meditation. If we're tracking the spiritual logic, this actually occurred to me this morning when I first woke up, and I was like, ah, here it is. Here's the nugget, the gem. If you think about it, if you've made it this far, regardless of what your chronological age is right now, if you are living, breathing in this moment, it means that you have had enough food, oxygen, water, and shelter. Everything has been provided. Everything is being provided. Whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's the answer to a mind-boggling or appearance of a mind-boggling question or problem. You're here. I'm here. We're here in this time. We have enough. I'm grateful for that. Say goodbye to the worry. One thought away from faith. So let's take a moment to let that ruminate. And if you feel so inclined and just want to relax even further, if you want to close your eyes, you can. Or you can watch. I'm going to be looking at you through the camera. And I'm going to affirm and know and declare that there is one power. There is one. Nothing else. One. That moves in and through the universe and expresses as us, as individualizations of that one spirit. Every one of us, every one of us is a divine expression. I ask you and invite you to take that into your heart. Take it through your mind. Breathe into that idea, that expansive idea, that there is only one thing happening right now, right here, and that is God. Breathe if that feels like an enormous thought. breathe if that feels like it's already landed. Breathe into that idea of the joy, the peace that comes along with that. Because I affirm that peace, I affirm that joy for myself and for everyone listening, and for everyone that is not even hearing these words but is a part of that one, which means everybody. I affirm trust that there is good and only good happening in every situation. And I know and I affirm and I declare for everyone and everyone listening and everyone hearing and everyone feeling the vibration of these words going out, that there is this beautiful expansion, this beautiful unfolding as we move through many, many, many conditions that are turning our lives upside down. Right here and right now, I can and I do affirm that that upside down, this metamorphosis, this evolution of human life right now, in this time, is opening to this amazing, extraordinary, and all the superlatives that we can give it, still all God. It is still all God. And so I affirm for each of us that knowing it is all God, it is absolutely good. And I affirm for each one of us the willingness and the courage to both surrender and to lean in. To lean into the surrender, knowing that we are always supplied and supported. If we are here and we are living and we are breathing, we are supplied and supported. So, feeling the gratitude of that truth, knowing this is the truth of who we are and what we're here to be for each other, for ourselves, for the planet. I let these words go into that law, into that spiritual law that only knows yes, that obeys what we give it, the form that we give it. And so knowing that it is good, I let it be so. And in peaceful, joyful gratitude, I simply affirm. And so it is. Amen.